He has no fixed set of beliefs, whereas Ted Cruz is not malleable. And every time anyone points at Donald's actual record, what he said on national television, yells liar. Let me tell you something. Falsely accusing someone of lying is itself a lie, and it's something Donald does daily.
Go ahead, Mr. Trump. I watch. The lobbyists. I watched what this man did to Dr. Ben Carson, who I respect, in Iowa, where he said that Ben Carson is out of the race, he has left Iowa, and he's out of the race. And I thought it was disgraceful. And got a lot of votes because of that. A lot of votes took him away from Ben Carson. I watched that. Probably took him away from me, too. But I watched it. I also watched where he did a form that looked like it came right out of a government agency. And it said on top, voter violation. And then it graded you, and it scared the hell out of people. And it said the only way you clear up the violation, essentially, is to go and vote for Ted Cruz. I watched that fraudulent document, and I said it's the worst thing I've ever seen in politics. To me, that was even worse than what he did to Ben.
Senator Cruz,
I know politicians. I know politicians, believe it or not, better than you do, and it's not good.
Oh, I believe it. No, I believe you know politicians much better than I do, because for 40 years you've been funding liberal Democratic politicians. And by the way,
I funded you.
You're welcome to have the check back.
I funded this guy.
Because let's
be
clear. Yeah, you gave me $5,000.
You never funded me.
And by the way, let's be clear. Donald claims to care about
him. He sent me
Donald
his autograph.
Donald, I understand rules are very
Trump,
hard
you're doing
for you. They're
a great
very
job. I have his book.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
on your
that,
reality
that,
TV show, not in
thank
you,
Donald.
Thank you for the book.
Donald.
Thank you for the book. Go ahead.
Donald, you can get back on
your
meds.
You're a lot of fun up here tonight, I have to tell you. Thank you for the book.
Donald, relax.
Go ahead. I'm relaxed. You're the basket case. Go ahead.
Donald.
Go ahead. Don't get nervous.
Go ahead. My name
I promise
is,
you,
my
Donald,
name is,
nothing about
I've
you,
seen
that,
you.
That makes
I've
anyone
seen
nervous.
You
lose
people so
are actually
badly.
Watching
wanna,
this.
You don't know what's happening.
Gentlemen.
Wolf, I'm going to ask that my comment not be deducted when he's yelling at
me. Control.
Okay, now.
The latest debate.
Well, hold on.
Please.
I'm going to get my answer. He doesn't get to yell at
me. I want to move on. These are the rules.
He called me a liar and interrupted the whole time. Am I allowed to? Wolf, do I not get a response? Do I not get a response?
You'll get plenty of response, so stand by.
My name was
mentioned. I want to talk about ISIS right now. And the federal
name was
I want to talk about ISIS right now. And the federal government. How best to keep Americans safe from ISIS? There's a huge battle underway right now between the tech giant Apple and the federal government. Federal government wants Apple to unlock the phone used by
holy Jesus. Oh my God. Was that just insane? I know I have to try to decipher that for you. I have to try to okay. So all right. So you heard Cruz's attack line. You have funded liberal Democrats. You funded politicians. And so Trump fires back, I funded you. Which in turn, Cruz had to then say, yes, you gave me $5,000. So when Cruz is saying Trump can't be trusted because he'll make deals with liberals because he takes money from liberals, he also gives money to conservatives. So the whole Cruz kind of argument gets kind of lost when he himself, it's different when Trump goes, I gave this person, I gave that person, I've given to a lot of Republicans. Ooh, excuse me. I've given to a lot of Republicans. Kind of gets really blown up when the person who's accusing Donald Trump of giving money to Democrats also has to admit that Donald Trump gave him money and he's a conservative. So that was the exchange. And then the little boy you heard pop in was Marco Rubio, who said, "You never donated to me." And then, of course, you hear the woman scream, the high-pitched scream. And Trump responded with liking his book. So Marco Rubio sent Trump a copy of his book with something nice, like "you're doing a great job" or whatever, which was basically a way for Trump to then cut Marco Rubio a check. Remember, I've said this before. Trump has always been with these guys. He's always been with these guys, but they never let him in to the cool club. They've taken his money, but they've never let him in to the cool club. He was still that kid that would hang out with these guys. And when all the kids would say, "Hey, we're done playing kickball," or "we're done doing this, we're all going to go home now." And all the kids leave. They act like they're going home. They all have to go to eat dinner. So then Donald Trump goes, "Oh, okay, well, I'll see you guys tomorrow," and he leaves. And then all the kids get back together a half hour later, but without Trump, without little Trump. And they just did so they didn't have to hang out with little Trump anymore because he wasn't cool enough for them. So that's how it is. They all took money from him. They all said, "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." But they never let him inside. And here he is fighting these people. He has invaded their club. He's invaded their clique. And he's fighting them. And he's saying, "I can do what you have been doing, and I can do it better. I don't need to be in your clique. I'm going to create my own clique, and I'm not going to let you in." So Rubio is sending Trump books. That's a way to get money without saying, "Can I have money?" That whole exchange, that was a insider's in to that exchange. Fascinating. It's fascinating. And then, of course, they just talked over each other, and Wolf Blitzer banging that buzzer, and "Gentlemen, gentlemen, gentlemen, gentlemen." It's like, wow. Jeez. Man. So then they get into another exchange. See, I'm pulling some of my favorite clips. These are my favorite clips. This is where Trump calls Rubio a choke artist and Cruz a liar. Place is nuts. It's good stuff. So. And then they start fighting and screaming over each other. Oh, here you go.
"And I'll give one more example in Israel. When the Obama administration canceled civilian air flights into the nation of Israel when Hamas was raining rockets down on them, I publicly asked, 'Is this an economic boycott against Israel?' The next day, Michael Bloomberg, another New York billionaire, got on a plane, a commercial flight, and flew to Israel from London. Together, the heat and light that was put on the State Department was so great that within 36 hours, they lifted the ban on air flight into Israel during that entire battle. And indeed, during every battle on Israel, the natural question is, where was Donald? If this is something he cares about, why has he supported anti-Israel politicians from Jimmy Carter to Hillary Clinton to John Kerry for four decades? If you care about Israel, you don't write checks to politicians who are undermining Israel. Instead, you stand and support the national security of America and the alliance.
There's a critical point that needs to be made here.
Governor, he attacked Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump has a right to respond.
Well, look, my response is very simple. There is nobody on this stage that has done more for Israel than I have. Nobody. You might say, you might talk, your politicians all talk, no action. I've been watching it all my life. You are all talk and no action. What I've seen up here, I mean, first of all, this guy's a choke artist and this guy's a liar. You have a combination of factors. He can't do it for the obvious reason, and he can't do it because he doesn't know how to tell the truth. Other than that, I rest my case.
This is a typical thing he does. On any debate about policy, he goes right for the outrage. Governor Kasich, you have the floor. You will have a response, but I promised Governor Kasich he could respond.
Can somebody attack me, please?
There's something I want to... I want to point out something here today that is, it's so critically important, and about how the Obama administration.
Wow. He's a choke artist and he's a liar. He's a choke artist and he's a liar. Classic. And then you hear everybody going crazy. Now, that was all from Ted Cruz. And having a big brouhaha, that's what I call it, a brouhaha, about Israel. And again, Trump went outside. Traditional Republican orthodoxy. He went outside. He took the approach that many people have taken. And it's not an anti-Israel side. And let's face it, saying, if you're the president, I'm going to deal with Israel and Iran, or Israel and Palestine. The United States is going to deal as an honest broker. Saying that and creating an environment to be able to sit down with these individuals and try to reach a peace deal is perfectly fine and not anti-Israel, especially when we give Israel billions and billions of dollars in military support. We give them billions and billions of dollars for their Iron Dome. It would be one thing if the United States or the president did not support Israel militarily and financially, and then say, well, we want to deal with Israel and these other countries. We want to be an honest broker. That's what we want to do. We want to come from a position of not choosing sides. Well, of course we choose sides. Of course we're on Israel's side. Duh. So Trump's position is a very honest position, and it's very statesmanlike. But again, of course we have Israel's back. Of course we favored them. Of course. But the orthodoxy of the Republican Party has always been this really, really hardline, hawkish approach. And that's not for the voters. That's not for the voters. That's for the donors. The only reason, I mean, listen, guys, you realize that Jewish people in the United States of America vote for the Democrats. They vote for the Democrats. They overwhelmingly vote for the Democrats. The members of Congress and the members of the Senate, actually Jewish, are Democrats. I think the Republicans had one. Eric Cantor. Remember Eric Cantor? And he got his ass thrown out. He lost in a primary. Like he was challenged by his own party. He was challenged by his own party. That's how much his own party cares about Israel and Jewish folk. You only see Cruz and Rubio and Tom Cotton have this hawkish stance is because Sheldon Adelson, Bill Kristol, and a few other extremely wealthy Jewish individuals will only donate to candidates that take that position. The rest of the voters don't care. Listen, if the rest of the voters in the United States of America cared that much about Israel and Jewish folk, there would be a lot more Jewish folk in our government. There would be a lot more Jewish governors. There'd be a lot more Jewish senators. There'd be a lot more congressmen that are Jewish. The voters don't care. The voters don't sit there with a pad of paper going, are they just for Israel? Do they love Israel more than they love themselves? Will they just Israel, just, yeah. I mean, will they just tattoo the Star of David on themselves? No different than when you hear people say, does the Republican voter really care about capital gains taxes? You know who cares about capital gains taxes? You know who care about the rate? The guys that give these people money. If you think, and it's not just a Trump rally, when you see a Cruz rally, when you see a Kasich rally, when you see a rally, and the people that are in the crowd, do they look? Now, I know looks can be deceiving. But do they look like they're sitting there going, if I sell this $3.5 million piece of property, I'm going to have to pay ooh, I'm going to have to pay the, gosh, the capital gains tax on this is going to kill me. I wonder if I vote for Cruz, seriously, no different than the death tax. The death tax. Who does that benefit? It doesn't benefit the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of voters that pull the lever for the GOP. It benefits 100 families. And that's what the GOP fights for. The estate tax, capital gains tax. An unwavering support for Israel. I mean, unwavering. They're our closest allies. We give them billions of dollars. We back them up on everything. What more are we supposed to say? what more are we supposed to? I mean, again, these are things that your average voter that just doesn't really care about. The average voter is not thinking about these things. And that shows you how out of touch the GOP is with their own, forget base. Forget the when you hear the word base. Like you have the GOP party, and then you have this group. Then you have this like subgroup, and they're the ones that are uneducated, and they hate illegals, and they hate black people. And they're... Listen, the GOP party as a whole, okay? The 61 million people that voted for Mitt Romney, out of those 61 million people, 99% of them don't give a crap about capital gains tax, estate tax. Out of the 61 million, 58 million don't care. That's not an issue that is driving them. So the whole is Israel, like, you have to sit here and cut your arm open and bleed on the floor and say, I pledge my blood to Israel. It's not how it works anymore. It's not how it works anymore. Trump has shown. When you take the money out of politics, it's a totally different ball game. And that's really what Trump did. He took the money out of politics. When you take that money out, you have a whole new voting electorate. What we thought was the voting electorate is not. Because when you take the money out, and you're just saying, hey, I believe in this and I want this, and what do you want? Oh, you want that. Okay. When that gets flushed out, there's a little bit of a liberal policy. There's a little bit of a conservative policy. There's a little bit of a populist policy. There's a little bit of a nationalist policy. There's a little bit of, like, morsel. Just a morsel from all of these things. But once that money's involved, and that money, rather, it's a Sheldon in, or it's the oil companies, or it's the pharmaceutical companies, you now have to take a position on stuff that falls in line with that big money. And then that creates that creates a situation where you have to, where you have to fall in line against possibly hundreds, if not millions, of voters. You have to possibly fall in line, not based on what voters want, but what one billionaire wants. And that's part of this whole, and I mean whole, fracturing and destroying, shattering the Republican Party and what is going on. And it's really all about money. And the fact that Trump doesn't need the money, so Trump doesn't have to take positions based on money. And that was the Israel fight. Because Cruz and Rubio have to take a position where they have to sound the way they do, because that's what the Sheldon Adelsons want them to do. Because if they don't, they don't get money. But the responsible thing to say would be, I'm an honest broker. And of course, whoever the prime minister of Israel is knows that that's what the United States says. But at the end of the day, the United States has the back of Israel. But that's what the United States says to try to get things done. And it's actually good for Israel to play that neutral position. And they know it. And we've always had that position. Always had that position. And then another big dust up. One of my favorites is Trump getting blasted by Rubio and Cruz. And he tells them to keep on swinging. Swing for the fences. This is another one of my favorites.
I'm beating him awfully badly in the polls.
But you're not beating Hillary. But you're not beating Hillary.
Well, then if I can't beat her, you're really going to get killed, aren't you? So let me ask you this, because you're really getting beaten badly. I know you're embarrassed, but keep fighting. Keep swinging, man. Swing for the fences. Let me just tell you. The Trump University case is a civil case, it's a civil case. It's a case where people want to try and get, it's a case that is nonsense. It's something I could have settled many times. I could settle it right now for very little money, but I don't want to do it out of principle. The people that took the course all signed, many, signed report cards saying it was fantastic, it was wonderful, it was beautiful. And believe me, I'll win that case. That's an easy case.
So that was, and it was funny because Cruz walked into that. Don't know how Cruz walked into that, but Cruz started talking about polls. He started talking about polls. And you don't talk about polls. You don't talk about polls to Donald Trump. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? As Trump called him earlier, a basket case. What's wrong with you? You don't talk about polls with a poll master. Trump is the poll master. You don't. What's wrong with you? Huh? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Huh? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So he starts talking about polls and who can beat who. And that's the line where you hear say, well, I'm beating you. And if I can't beat Hillary, you definitely can't beat Hillary. So that was an exchange. It's a pretty good exchange. Talking about swinging for the fences. Highly entertaining. Highly entertaining. Highly entertaining. And it shows you, out of all the attacks, from Cruz, Rubio, Wolf Blitzer, Hugh Hewitt, Trump got in a whole bunch of his own punches. And those were my highlights. And that continued for 2.5 hours, literally. 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. A long debate of getting just punched and blasted. And then, of course, when you tune into Fox, they were praising how awesome Rubio did and punching Trump and why hasn't he been doing this for the last 5 months. And it was like a whole Rubio love fest. Whole Rubio love fest. And like I said, South Carolina, I actually was like, hey, wow, that was me. He was just, wow, he's yelling at this person, he's yelling at that person. Maybe this is not going to turn out so good in South Carolina primary. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little scared on this. As far as I'm concerned, Rubio attacked. Cruz attacked. Rubio read from a script. Interrupted. Brought up things that were either old or meaningless as far as attacking. Showed desperation. I explained in the beginning of the bit exactly what it means for Rubio. He's got basically 3 days left to somehow win. He can't go in Tuesday without winning. And that was the debate in a nutshell. Now, from that point, Marco Rubio and his establishment friends have been on a tear. Seriously. He's been on a tear because Trump made tweets last night, and he spelt wrong. He spelled it C-H-O-C-K-E-R. And, of course, this turned into a bit, a comedy bit for the establishment. And then this morning, now this shows you, okay, this shows you how desperate Rubio is, but how politically gifted Donald Trump is for someone who's not a politician. So, Marco Rubio, who's in Dallas today, kept his attacks going as if he was still on the stage. So, Rubio pulls out his smartphone and pulls up Trump's Twitter account and starts making fun of the fact that he did not spell choker properly. He did not spell choker properly. He literally read the tweet. So this is what Marco Rubio is doing at his own rally. Because talking about what he could do for the future to make the country great doesn't seem to be working too good. Doesn't seem to be working too good. No, nobody believes that he could do anything except sweat and drink water. That's it. For the last 7 or 8 months, he's been touring the country, telling everybody what he will do. And he hasn't won a state. He has not won a state. He has not won a single state. Not one. Not one. And he's behind the polls in every single state come Tuesday. So his message of being a strong leader, having all of these endorsements, means nothing. The donors are upset. He's running out of money. And he's got one last shot. So today, at a rally, instead of talking about how great he can make the country, he's telling the crowd of, it looks like there's 300 people there, that Trump doesn't know how to spell, and that during the debate, Trump was having a meltdown and said he was putting makeup on his sweat mustache and asking for a full-length mirror. Which in turn Rubio said, I don't know why. Maybe he was trying to make sure his pants weren't wet. I mean, Rubio, he just went on this little kid tirade. He was also saying Trump is acting like a tough guy, even though he was the first president presidential candidate that begged for Secret Service protection. And he said he wanted to punch a protester in the face. And said Donald Trump has never punched anyone in the face. That's what he said. Which is not 100% true. He did clothesline Vince McMahon. He did clothesline Vince McMahon. He clotheslined Vince McMahon. And punched Vince McMahon a bunch of times in the face. So that's, you know, that's Rubio. And then he said that Trump inherited $200 million, which helped him be successful. It's not true. Trump was already a billionaire by the time he inherited money, and it wasn't $200 million. I mean, that's just a fact. These are facts. These aren't me. These aren't me defending Trump because I'm a Trump mark. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. Trump was already a billionaire. Trump was already a billionaire. So that's what Rubio did today. That's what Rubio did today. That's how he spent his day campaigning, trying to get votes, trying to convince people that he should be president, that he can do a better job than anybody else on the stage, trying to be part of the story. And if he engages Trump, then he's part of the story. And if he's part of the story, then maybe he could get somebody to vote for him. And this morning, that's what everybody was talking about. His attacks last night and then his little rally today saying Trump is not a tough guy, that Trump is a failure, that Trump put makeup on his face, had a makeup artist, had the makeup people. And then the master politician clobbered Rubio. Just clobbered him. Clobbered Marco Rubio. Because as that shifted to Rubio's little shenanigans, Trump pulls out Chris Christie, the man who destroyed Marco Rubio a few debates ago, destroyed him. Trump brought up Chris Christie. And Chris Christie endorsed Donald Trump. So now, the little buzz of Marco Rubio attacking Trump and this morning attacking Trump just got wiped out. The buzz. People going, did you see what happened? Did you see what happened last night with Rubio? Did you see what he said this morning? Chris Christie just endorsed Donald Trump. Chris Christie, the guy that knocked Marco Rubio senseless on the debate stage. The guy that knocked the hell out of Marco Rubio on the debate stage. Just annihilated him. Is now backing. Is now. And is now in Trump's corner. That's huge. Huge. And now you're going to have Chris Christie. Because this afternoon, it already started. They had a press conference. Chris Christie and Donald Trump had a press conference where Chris Christie endorsed Donald Trump. And then he proceeded to literally unload on Marco Rubio. And now Chris Christie will be hitting the campaign trail and he will be attacking Marco Rubio. He will be attacking Marco Rubio. He will be doing to Marco Rubio on the campaign trail what he did to Marco Rubio on the debate stage. All the wind just got sucked out. All the wind just got sucked out of the Rubio campaign. I mean, think about this. You're the Rubio. Think about this, you guys. Think about this. Tuesday, everybody votes. Tuesday's the big day. Today's Friday. Okay? Saturday and Sunday, most people stay away from the TV, or at least politics. And the cable news channels themselves kind of chill. I mean, MSNBC plays lockup. Now, this weekend, they have the South Carolina primary. So MSNBC this weekend isn't going to be focused on the Republicans per se. Tomorrow's going to be Hillary Clinton and Bernie. That's going to be the big thing tomorrow. Hannity, O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly. They don't work on Saturday and Sunday. So you had last night, and you had people going, oh, wow, Marco Rubio fought Trump. Did you see that? He fought Trump. And then this morning, everybody woke up, said, oh, man, he's fighting with Trump again. He's fighting with Trump. Look at that. The momentum's carrying from the debate to this morning. And then all of a sudden, bang. Chris Christie endorses Donald Trump. And then instantly, everybody focuses back to Donald Trump and Chris Christie. And just like that, Rubio goes from reading tweets at a rally, everybody laughing, to the focus back to Trump and Chris Christie. They do a press conference. Everybody's there. CNN has it. MSNBC has it. Fox News has it. It's live. And then from the press conference, they go to a rally where Chris Christie comes out, does a little speech, and then introduces Trump. This is all live. All live. And that's all anyone is talking about now. That's all anybody is talking about. That's it. It went from Rubio fighting Trump, Rubio at a rally, reading things off of Twitter. Now, Chris Christie endorsing Donald Trump. And that's all anybody's talking about. That's it. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. The narrative went from Marco Rubio fighting to Trump pulling Chris Christie out of the hat. Well, not out of the hat. Chris Christie's pretty big. But out of a piano case. And it's the guy that beat the crap out of Marco Rubio. The guy that beat the crap out of Marco Rubio. So now think about this strategy. Think about the strategy. Chris Christie's the guy that beat the crap out of Marco Rubio at that debate. And now Trump brings him out. Christie endorses Trump. And now, for the next few days, if I'm proved wrong and we go past Super Tuesday, for the next 2 weeks, people will show that clip of Christie manhandling Rubio. And the situation that the Republican establishment says Rubio got passed. The situation that he got passed. I heard commentators talk about it yesterday. Well, Rubio got past the Christie situation. He got past it. People have stopped talking about it. It's not a big deal anymore. Now it's going to get all brought back up. When Christie hits the campaign trail and starts going after Rubio nonstop, people are going to go, this is what he did in the debate. This is what he did in the debate that knocked Rubio out. So now the past that Rubio and his supporters said he got through is now brought back up. It's all going to be brought back up. This is huge. This is huge. This is huge. This is enormous. Just like that, the narrative has changed. Just like that. Today, on all of the shows, the talk is Christie endorsing Trump. That's the talk. They just completely buried. They just completely buried. Completely buried Marco Rubio. Completely buried him. Big. big, huge. And that was the debate. That was Chris Christie. And that was everything that has transpired in the last 24 hours in a nutshell.